kwangu na uhuru na utukufu hata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in to Radio Harambe, the companion podcast to our website, jamboeveryone.com. I am Dave McBride in the Radio Harambe studios, and joining me once again, this is getting to be like a thing, Mike, in the studio is Safari Mike. Mike, you are home again.
Jambo, Dave, how are you?
Are you starting to get tired of the road? Is that why you're doing this?
I'm old, Dave. It was pointed out on Twitter by several people how old I am, because I was in the parks in 1972.
You were in the parks in 1972.
Apparently that makes me an old fogey.
That is probably the one time you were in the park when I wasn't.
That's true.
Or at least one year.
That's true.
So we are going to do a special episode today. No news. We'll save that all for next week. There really isn't that much anyway, to be honest with you.
Not really.
Not a whole lot. So we'll save that to next week. We put out a call for listener questions. And as always, we got a fantastic response. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get through all of them in this one show. So I haven't really even looked at these.
How many are there? 35?
There's 36. And I haven't even looked at them, other than the fact that you sent them to me and I cut and paste them onto a piece of paper.
So there's a handful that I don't know either that you got from somewhere else, right?
Yep. These are all brand new to me except for the last four or five, which were brought through on the through the contact form on the blog, jamboeveryone.com. And if you, in the future, listeners, have any questions or comments about the show you want to make, feel free to email us at jamboeveryone@gmail.com. You can also go to jamboeveryone.com. There is a contact form there, and that comes to us eventually. But we will eventually get to us. So let's begin.
All right.
Shall we?
Sure.
Listener question number one is from, well, these are all going to be from Twitter to start at.
Okay.
And it's at underscore E, no, E at E underscore was.
Okay.
If you could build a second animal kingdom anywhere on the planet, space excluded for this, where would it be?
Oh, I mean, New Jersey.
All right. Yeah. I can't think of a better answer than that.
I mean, come on.
Except maybe a little further. No, New Jersey. Yeah. Right out there. I'm pointing into the yard.
Right across the street would be perfectly fine by me.
How about another answer? Would you think animal kingdom in
I think it would help
with Disneyland or something.
Not Disneyland. Disneyland, you know, there's really no space there anyway. Yeah. And they got California Adventure and all that kind of stuff. It may help Disneyland Paris just because
it's true.
I mean, the studios apparently there is like one of the worst parks on earth, if you hear all the reports. So an animal kingdom might be beneficial there. And maybe like one of the Asian parks, not Tokyo so much, but like Hong Kong maybe as the second park to that. It might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, that's kind of an obvious. Those are two obvious answers. Yeah. But the real obvious answer is my backyard.
That's fair.
So let's move on to Hung Throttle Podcast.
Yes. Yes. They actually sent me something once. Very nice.
Like a gift of something?
Yeah.
Was it for your birthday when you turned 60?
No.
What animal show / presentation like Flights of Wonder would you create for Animal Kingdom if you could?
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
I have an idea. Do you have any ideas?
I'm thinking.
Okay. I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
I believe it's San Diego that in their wild animal park does a cheetah show where there's almost like a cheetah run where they allow the cheetahs to really book. And you get a real sense of how fast these animals can go. And it's,
I love that
would be a fantastic addition to Disney's Animal Kingdom. It would be different. I mean, as far as I know, San Diego is the only one that does that. But yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind.
First thing that comes to my mind is there used to be a nighttime. It's not really even a show. It's kind of more like Winged Encounters than it is Flights of Wonder. Mm-hmm. And they used to do it at the Bronx Zoo with the tigers. Where at night they would almost like feed them or something.
No, that wasn't. They did do that. That was, you're thinking of. We were there for the holiday lights that one time.
Right.
So they were doing it at night, but they do it during the day as well.
Oh, okay.
And basically, a keeper comes out. They have like a section of the. Just to give you kind of an idea of what this is, it's Siberian tiger, so they're out all year long. And the one exhibit is all glass, so that you're looking at these animals behind glass, much like. You know, the first time when you first see the gorillas and things right. like that. And there was this basically wooden gate that would come down, and all that was between the keeper and the tiger was fence. And they would be able to feed. And what they did was the tigers would come up right to you. It was only between you and some fencing, and they would jump up, and you could see how tall they
yeah.
were. They would, you know, call, you know, they would growl on command and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And the keepers did that just to sort of, they wanted to take a look at their teeth, take a look at their underside,
right.
make sure they were healthy, kind of, and it was kind of an enrichment program. So other zoos do similar types of things.
That kind of thing is what I would be into, mm-hmm. more than sort of a dog and pony show would be like a species enrichment thing.
How about, Dave, a Winged Encounters, but instead of macaws, it's fruit bats. How cool would that be?
Oh, yeah. You'd get people running for the exit point. That's a bad idea.
That'd be so cool.
Here is another question from the same person at @E_was, whose name is apparently Ethan.
Okay.
What opening day detail or attraction would you bring back? There's not too many that are gone, but I can give you my answer right away.
We might have the same answer. Go ahead.
Countdown to Extinction.
No, that's actually a different answer than me.
I would bring back the name Countdown to Extinction.
That's a good one. But my first thought was Dinosaur Jubilee.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the dinosaur museum.
But he said detail, so a name is a detail.
I thought he said attraction.
He did, too. He did.
There you go.
So that's probably the only one other than the show. There would have been a show in the Theater in the Wild. There's not too much that's not still there.
Right, so
right?
What you would have had is some of the things that you... No, it's more than you think. The Discovery River boats are gone.
Yeah, they were lame.
The Pocahontas show.
Well, that's Camp silly. Mickey of course, gone. All of Camp Minnie Mickey is gone. Yeah.
The
Pocahontas show, yep.
The Fossil Preparation Lab, which was a lot of fun, if you remember that from Dino Land. That might have exhausted it.
No attractions, though, are gone.
Well, unless you count the Disney Riverboat, the Discovery Riverboats.
Yeah, yeah, which they're still there. They're just not using them.
The landings are still there anyway.
Yeah, the boats are somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
If you could choose, this is from @RexSaucy. Nice. If you could choose another grand sci-fi or fantasy franchise to build a land of instead of Avatar, mm-hmm. which would you choose? Sci-fi or fantasy franchise? I'll let you go first.
Instead of Avatar?
Yeah.
The obvious choice to me would be you could easily incorporate some of the ideas behind Beastly Kingdom, and that is make a Lord of the Rings land.
Yeah.
Middle Earth. You could have done, if it had done better, you could have done Narnia too, I suppose. It has the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
You're taking, because Lord of the Rings is really based upon mythological, you know, deep myths of, you know, Norse and Celtic and all those kinds of mythology and all those, you know, critters that you see like dragons and centaurs and all that kind of stuff were part of yeah. Beastly Kingdom and are part of our mythology. So you could have easily incorporated that much more, I think, than Avatar.
I'm trying to think of any other options besides, I mean, sci-fi.
Game of Thrones?
Avatar is really the only sci-fi one.
Sci-fi?
You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't do Star Wars in the Animal Kingdom. Because there's not really much to that. That's Android. Same with Star Trek. Those are the two big...
Endor, I suppose.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. You could do a big... What's the big Sarlacc pit? You can do one of those and just...
Yeah, you could have done that.
Drop people in there. It'd be fun. Star Trek and Star Wars are the two big ones, and neither one of them really appropriate. The first thing that came to my mind was Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
The second one that comes to my mind is Fantasia. Because
you could have done that. WALL-E?
As a sci-fi? Yeah.
It's sci-fi, and it has a very deep conservation message.
It does have a very deep conservation message. That's probably
it's
the
probably
most
not big enough to.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
I mean, you could have worked an attraction.
The biggest issue with that, as opposed to the other ones that we've named, is the land, the blending of the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why Avatar works, and that's why Lord of the Rings works.
Right.
Because of those, I would agree with you on that. I'm gonna go with your answer. I'm only allowed one of those.
I think of another.
There are a few, but they're
science fiction.
I mean, there are a bunch of fantasy ones over the years, but there's, but you know, in science fiction, of course, I mean, there's a lot of things you could do, but they're all either superhero related or space related. And Avatar is really the only one that is, you know, sci-fi. I mean, there's things like, you know, Into the Deep. I mean, you know, what's the one Sigourney Weaver did where they went into the ocean, however many thousands of.
Oh, well, I don't even remember the name.
You know what I'm talking about with the, yeah, I mean, there's things like that, that, you know.
I always thought, you know, one possibility for that area instead of Avatar would be like a sort of haunted area. Because one of the key things about mythology and man and the natural world has always been the fear of it. And you could have done something. I'm trying to think of like a good, I mean, Dracula doesn't work, but like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something, but it's not coming to me.
I mean, there's other ones that fit into the fantasy that might have had some kind of thing like Willow or The Princess Bride.
Yeah, but none of them are big enough. I mean, it's, you know.
I mean, Wizard of Oz wouldn't work. I mean, that's kind of like the biggest. I mean, it could, but it really wouldn't work there.
No, there's not enough mythological creatures in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really the best one. I really
do. Yeah, I think Lord of the Rings is the best one.
I think that's the only one really to go with. What did I do with it? Okay, so our next one is from at Wesley M. James.
Yes.
In Disneyland, people debate the merits of touring clockwise versus counterclockwise. Any such touring philosophies for Disney's Animal Kingdom? I'll let you answer that because I really don't have a touring philosophy for Disney's Animal Kingdom. I know there is one, and but I think, personally, I think with the advent of the FastPass Plus, if you're lucky enough to have it work for you at the time, it kind of negates that to a certain degree. Certainly not in a geographical way. In my opinion.
Right, Animal Kingdom was never really conducive to turn left and just work your way around. I mean, it's
you could
like
certainly do it. Yeah,
you could, but I mean, most people I think either head to the right towards Expedition Everest or to the left towards Kilimanjaro Safari.
Right.
Personally, and you know, Dave, this actually might be a good topic for a show itself, and that is to do a touring plans type plan, taking into account all the shows and the your fast pass pluses and all that kind of stuff.
I hate those.
But, and I think we should do that one time because I think that would be interesting to see how we would come up with it.
No,
but anyway,
no, I can't. I'm not going to let you just pass that by. The whole park was built on the philosophy of not touring in that regard.
No. I understand that.
So don't make a touring plan.
That is the hand
we've
been dealt.
Don't use your touring plan thing that they give you on touringplans.com to go to the Animal Kingdom. Don't do it. You may maximize your time on the rides to some degree, but you're blowing away everything else. Because if you ever read them, they basically tell you to blow by everything that's not doesn't have a title in front of it.
And here
doesn't have a signpost.
Right. And here is what I would say to was it Wes James's question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make your Fast Pass pluses for Everest, Kali, and Kilimanjaro Safari.
Kali only in the summer.
That's fine. I'm assuming for the purposes of this that you're interested in those types of rides. I mean, if you have like two kids that are, you know, 1 and 2 years old, you're not going to ride Everest, so be it. But anyway. And start off with Maharaja Jungle Trek and enjoy, you know, the animals coming out first thing and all that kind of stuff and enjoy that.
Yeah.
And then go to Dinoland and take that in. There'll be nobody in either one of those.
That's true.
And then you have, you know, you have your fast passes for the big ticket items later on. Make them later on.
You would do Maharaja first, just because of the animal.
I would. Okay. I would because you still have time to enjoy. I think Dinoland before that gets.
Yeah.
If you hit the Jungle Trek, you're there at 9. Let's say you'll be, you know, you walk through it leisurely, enjoy it like it's 9:30, 9:40 when you're done. You're at Dinoland before 10 o'clock. Right. Nobody's there. They're all at Everest. They're all at Kilimanjaro Safari, and then. Take in Dinoland, enjoy it basically by yourself.
Right.
And then you can start using your fast passes and start figuring out what shows you want to see and all that kind of stuff.
I would also say make sure that you're keeping in mind where your fast passes are. So don't just, you know, don't have no time in between one and the other because you want to kind of take in that area. So if you're going to make a Kilimanjaro fast pass, make sure that your next fast pass isn't an hour and 10 minutes away, because the safari ride's 35 minutes long.
Right. What I would do, generally speaking, this is why I said sort of try to make us do a touring plan, because then we can incorporate that kind of stuff in it in terms of spending a half hour in the oasis and that kind of stuff.
And I can make fun of touring plans as often as possible.
That's true. The only difference I would, if you're going to make a fast pass for both Kali and Everest, you could probably do that within the same, 1 hour after the other.
Yeah.
And I would make Safari Fast Pass at the end.
That's probably, yeah.
And enjoy being one of the last people on the safari.
Yeah. When I'm there in the winter and the park closes early, 5 or 6 o'clock, right, that's when I always make a, what I usually do is make a Safari Fast Pass for like any time after 4 that it'll possibly let me get.
Right.
And then I go there first thing in the morning.
Right.
But I find sometimes that the first thing, and we talked about this too, that sometimes the first thing in the morning on Kilimanjaro Safari is not everything's out yet.
Well, that's definitely another strategy.
Kind of scatter them out.
Kilimanjaro Safari,
yeah,
and then do it again at the end of the day.
That's what
of
I
like
do. Yeah.
Bookmark, bookend your day.
That's
anyway.
That's my perfect plan. WJC23BC asks when, and this obviously was dedicated to you, because this isn't a problem for you. When will your brother watch Frozen?
Yes, that was actually directed towards me.
That was, so they're asking you, Mike, when will your brother watch Frozen?
Is that the only Frozen comment thrown in there, Dave? Just
I'm
so you
sure
know.
It's not.
I think there's at least one other one.
Sure, I do ask for these.
I don't know what to say. I tried to make Dave borrowed the 2 Captain America movies from me today, and I tried to make a condition precedent of that. Him watching Frozen as well, but he wouldn't do it. So,
and I can't understand why. I don't see why the two are linked at all. I don't.
They're not linked.
I'll tell you when I'll watch Frozen. If my child, who is all of 8 weeks old, comes home from school years from now and says, "Dad, I want to watch Frozen," I'll go get him Frozen, and we'll watch it.
At some point in time, you should just let him watch Frozen and let him and see if he likes it or not.
No. And then listen, I have a stack of Disney films, Mike. He's not going to have to worry about finding films to watch. So, but if he wants to hear Frozen, if we go, let's say we go to Disney World and he sees some
Maelstrom,
lousy Frozen thrown in thing that we have now, and he says, "I really want to see this," I'll watch it with him. I've said this a million times. I have never seen it. I have no opinion on it. I have absolutely no opinion on the film.
Okay.
So I, when he wants to see it, I'll see it. Until then, I don't plan on seeing it.
It's a solid film.
I'm sure it's great. I think I'll be honest.
Great's extreme.
The only thing I know about the film is the music, and I don't think it's very good.
The music's solid.
I think it's
whatever.
I think it's
whatever.
Bordering on dreadful. I think it sounds like.
Well, now you're just.
No, I think
it's for the sake of saying that.
No, I think it sounds like American Idol people. It's just like your typical stuff. There's nothing. Think of the songs in Frozen and compare them to Bare Necessities or When You Wish Upon a Star. They don't even come close, or even Circle of Life, or these songs that are like phenomenal songs.
That's fine.
The Frozen songs just aren't like that.
Do you like the songs from Finding Nemo the musical?
Mm-hmm.
I see. I like that.
Not really.
It's very Broadway. I like them. I thought. Listen, I'm not.
Now, let's not get into this.
Dancing around in the shower, singing Let It Go.
Yes, you are. It's a small blog.
Right.
I thought it says it's as mall blog. It's a small blog. Do you expect to see more aquatic life represented in the park in the future? I would say no.
Yeah, the answer to that is a big fat no, I think.
Yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you mean by aquatic life. I mean, is it possible that you might get...
like a small exhibit, some of the fish exhibits that are there. Yeah, you make it.
Right. Maybe they add a different kind of otter somewhere or something like that, I guess. But like a full-blown exhibit, like an aquarium the sea's land, I just don't see it. Especially with the living seas already in Epcot anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it. If they got rid of the living seas, that may be a possibility, but I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
Because, again, that's too expensive. It's a small blog also wants to know. Mm-hmm. Is a Dino Land refurb inevitable after the Avatar project? If so, what would you like to see added and taken away? I'll let you handle that part. The first part I'll say is no. I think the inevitability is the Yeti. I think that's the inevitable post-Avatar fix.
I guess we'll see about that one.
That would be, if I were to make a guess, that would be my guess. I don't see Dinoland in need of one.
No, I don't think. I think you're more likely to get an overhaul of Rafiki's before you got Dinoland.
That's even better. That's a better number two if I were making it.
Right.
So what would you, if they were to do it, what would you like to see added or taken away?
Well, nothing taken away, but I've said this in the past. I would love to see a legit dinosaur museum as part of the Dino Institute. And its own kind of hall, you know, with great hands-on exhibits and maybe even a small film or screen, you know, whatever. You know, real bones and dino, you know, and dino stuff like you're in America, you know, you were in a natural history museum. Nothing grand, just like one, you know, exhibit hall. Kind of also, kind of be like the, you know, we have the walking tours of the other lands. This would sort of be the walking tour of Dino Land. That's what I would like.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fine. I would like to see the carny games taken away. I'm not a big fan of them.
Not so much the rides, the games?
The games. The rides, I think, are fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a spinner. You need something simple. And the great thing about it is that if you're there with little kids and, you know, you got one kid that's old enough to appreciate everything in the park and maybe one that's not so much, you know, Triceratops spins never has a line or very rarely does one. So, and kids love that stuff. So it's, I don't mind that there. That's fine. But the games just
nobody ever plays them.
Nobody plays them.
They're a waste.
I would rather see maybe a food court built there or something like that. I mean, I don't know. Something. You don't have to change the theming at all. I actually was on a recorded an episode of the Disney Brit podcast last night with the guys. 2 hour long overview of the entire park.
And
when we got to Dinoland,
they ask you for?
They, because I know everything.
What did they ask me?
Because you only know about animal poop.
I derailed you. Sorry.
So they asked me the same question, and they were, you know, I got from them the question we always get, which is, and I think we're going to get later, which is, you know, what do you really think of Dinoland? Do you really like it, or you know? And I said I do like the theming, but the games are just a little
much.
Just
a little
they're
too corny.
Useless. They're useless. Yeah. I mean, nobody, like you said, nobody uses them.
Never uses them.
Yeah, and I live in New Jersey. We have them on every beach.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and I didn't like him then either.
How about a little Himalayan ride instead?
So
swings. How about those spinning swings?
That's fine. If they want to put another like a small dinosaur themed kiddie roller coaster, like the old Goofy Barnstormer, like that kind of thing, that'd be great. I mean,
that'd be better.
Stay with the thing. Just get rid of the games because the games are lost on people. People don't really use. So anyway, at Jennifer B,
who was actually at the Joe Rohde event.
Okay, well, we plan on going
lovely
to
woman.
Disney's Animal Kingdom on July 4th.
Good
you
luck.
Expect the hours to be extended past the current 5 p.m. close. Yes,
oh, absolutely.
I do. Yeah.
It'd probably be like 8 o'clock, I would guess.
I would think so. They're telling her right now that the hours are that it's closing at 5 p.m.
I can't imagine that.
On July 4th?
I can't imagine.
Hold on a second. This will take 2 seconds. Let me see this. Let me tell my dear here. What was her name? Jennifer?
Jennifer B.
Okay.
She was also in the Mighty Men of Mouse draft. Remember when I did that draft?
No.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. You're right.
She was involved with that.
Mike, they do list July 4th as closing at 5 p.m.
Do you have the 3rd and the 5th?
The 3rd at 5 and the 5th at 6. I would imagine it would close later than that. I don't know why that would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crowded, then it's going to be extended to, I would imagine, at least 7 o'clock, if not 8 or
and they
more.
Have the Magic Kingdom listed as open 8 to 1. But, yeah, I would think that that as bookings get larger and larger, they do this quite a bit with the Animal Kingdom. They extend it the last minute. You know, they extend it later on. So, yeah, I would say it probably would be done. I would say you at least have a 50-50 chance of that happening.
I would think more, but go ahead.
Dutch Lombrowski.
Mr. Mighty Man of Mouse himself.
What should I experience with my 4-yo, which I guess means year-old.
Yeah, of course.
And 3-yo. That would normally blow right. So let me read that again. What should I experience with my 4-yo and 3-yo that would normally blow right by? What should I experience that would normally blow right by?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the Boneyard.
Yeah, that's what comes to my mind, too.
I mean, I would assume Dutch himself have not scurried around the Boneyard digging up fossils and stuff like that. Right. But that's right up a 3- and 4-year-old's alley.
So is Triceratops Spin. We just talked about that. You get so if you get all the way up to the top, you get some nice little panoramic views.
I would think the petting zoo out in Rafiki's Planet Watch would be a solid one choice as well.
Yeah. Wilderness Explorers?
Absolutely. Wilderness Explorers is a good one. Although much of that might be a little too...
Certainly not for the four-year-old. Think it's too mature?
You know what I would do? I would get the Wilderness Explorers.
And give it a shot.
And do a couple of things and see what happens. You know, it probably would be good for the 3 and 4 year old, actually. Another one that comes to mind is, don't you think they would think Winged Encounters was awfully cool?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That might not be that. I think that would be one to try out.
Yeah, now that the parade is gone, I would have said the parade too, because the parade was great, but that's gone now. So I would do that. The little percussion rig. Stand drums that's over there. Okay. Kids go crazy
probably
for those.
Probably avoid It's Tough to Be a Bug.
No. Got to get tough, Mike. At 1 minute Disney Dream, what do you think is the best way to bring Animal Kingdom Lodge and Animal Kingdom Park to create a grander experience? I'm not sure I know what that really means.
I can tell you what, you know, one thing that somebody replied to that tweet with an idea, and this is an idea that I think I first heard on Resort Loop, and we might have talked about this, Dave, would be to build a train that ran from Jumbo House to Kidani Village to a Harambe station, and an entry, a dedicated entryway, like International Gateway.
Yeah, from that'd be very hard.
Obviously, they'll never do it, but that would be grand.
Mm, they couldn't do it. They really couldn't do it, because it'd be cutting backstage.
You would have to loop around pretty far.
Yeah,
you have to loop around,
right? But what I mean is, there's the animal enclosures almost completely surround Africa. The only part where there's not is the back end of the theater, the new theater that's there.
Yeah, that's what would have to. So the station would have to put it there,
and then they'd have to retheme that.
Absolutely.
And then they'd have to get rid of the parking lot across the street.
It would not be easy.
It wouldn't be easy.
And it would not be easy to get people in and out of Animal Kingdom Lodge in Kidani Village. It would be almost an impossible task.
They have plenty of room in the front of the park to build a train station.
But that would be grand.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be grand. I think that's kind of what you're going, what they're going for here.
I think
here.
So, too.
I mean, Rivers of Light should be pretty grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to be grand, build a waterway that connects all of this. Because if you have the waterway deep enough into the ground, you won't see the backstage areas, because you'll just be kind of in a canyon. You can make like a tunnel for the waterway to go through, and then have the waterway go all the way out to the parks, but the lodges. But I without having a map in my head of the lodges, I don't know if that could even work.
Okay,
so I would go with a train.
Anything
and just
else?
Go right in the front.
Anything else that you could think of?
No, that's it. Because to turn them into a grander experience, which I think was something we all want,
right.
You know, I mean, that would be terrific if we can have a monorail loop kind of feel going on with the two parks and the Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing like that will happen until Avatar is an assured success. Let's be honest. WDW Pod Review. Will be walking out of the park after a late Tusker House ADR. What route do I take? What do I look for? So I'm assuming he means the park's going to be closed.
I would assume. So if they'll let you, I would walk through Asia and walk past Dinoland. I would go as far away from the entrance as I could.
Possibly can.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, the lights in Asia are really nice. And in Dinoland as well. You really get all those, yeah, you really get the experience there.
So if you could do it, so if you're walking out of Africa.
You could do
and
it.
And there's no cast member to say, go this way, you're not allowed to go that way.
There probably is.
I would go to the left, swing around the back of the Tree of Life, like that path that leads towards Asia. Check out, and go all the way around Everest and go all the way through Dinoland.
Everest at night, if you have a good camera, is a great picture.
It's great. And like you said, Dinoland, especially the, you know, people mock the Dinorama area, Chester and Hester's, but it's lit up real. It's
beautiful.
It's beautiful at night.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep. It's like Christmas. At J-P-O-K-O-J-N-Y, I'm not even going to try it. Aside from Avatar Land, what dark ride do you add to the park and where is it located?
I'll let you go ahead, Dave.
I don't want dark rides added to the park. You go ahead.
My answer, and I'm sure I've said this before, would be a Jungle Book dark ride.
You have said it many a time.
In Asia. It would be themed towards King Louis's ruins. I would even use the queue to exhibit some small Asian animals like snakes and reptiles and frogs and like little like shrews and things like that. You know, you're walking through this, you know, the King Louis ruins essentially, and you can build these exhibits in there. I think it would be a lot of fun. And then just a boat ride or a dark ride of Jungle right. Book. There's another obvious answer as well, but you can go ahead.
I would say, just off the top of my head and thinking, because I'll reiterate, I would not want a dark ride at Disney Animal Kingdom. I think there are better ideas. There's places, enough dark rides throughout Walt Disney World.
There's never enough dark rides.
There is absolutely enough options. We can have a park without them. But if I were to add one, and I'm going to take this from a different angle. I'll just take the current used inventory. I would add Indiana Jones into somewhere off the beaten path in the Asia area.
You mean the dinosaur ride?
I would add a take on the Indiana Jones ride.
Would it be a dark ride or would it be the thrill ride?
The thrill ride. The one that's just like dinosaur, but is Indiana Jones. Well, change it.
No.
Change it and do that kind of thing, because I think Indiana Jones works there.
How about you build a Lion King dark ride out in Rafiki's Planet Watch?
I don't like...
The facade could be Pride Rock.
I don't like dark rides.
How do you not like dark rides?
I mean, I like dark rides, but I like the classic ones. If you can build me...
Bambi dark ride would be awesome.
If you can build me one that is not a Cliff Notes retelling of the movie, I'm in. That's what I like about... I don't like rides or attractions that are Cliff Note versions of the film. I like new things like Pirates, Haunted Mansion. I don't like things like Finding Nemo.
So you're
more
intrigued
by
the Avatar dark ride than like a Jungle Book dark ride.
As long as you... if the Jungle Book dark ride was using Jungle Book to teach us something different and not just retell the movie, yes, I'm more interested in that.
So if it had the characters and stuff, but not just
characters
retelling
are
the
fine.
Story.
Yeah, characters are fine.
Okay.
Characters are great.
Okay.
I just don't like it when they do these half-brained versions of the movie.
Well,
that's why I don't like... That's the example that I always say is when it comes to shows, that's why I don't like Nemo and why I love Festival of the Lion King.
Yeah, but Nemo's...
Nemo is just a 40-minute retelling of an 80-minute film.
But at least it has music in it, which you don't have in the movie.
Sure, but the story
is
still
that. It's much better than Beauty and the Beast.
I would rather have... It's much better than Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Great example. I would rather have Fantasmic, which uses the characters to build something new. That's all. That's what I mean.
I think that's true for
PhilharMagic.
Stage shows. 30-minute stage shows. I don't need a 30-minute version of...
Right.
Of a hour and 15-minute movie. For dark rides, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with like a retelling.
It only works with the classics. Any of the ones after that, I don't think it works.
Jungle Book's classic.
The classic built attractions. Peter Pan.
Pinocchio.
Right. Those are the only ones that really come to mind. But everyone built after that. Look at Mermaid. They poured everything into that. Poured a fortune into that. It's beautiful themed building, and the ride is
It's okay.
Look at Nemo. It's another great example. They developed this whole new technology, and the ride itself is because there's not anything there. Nemo's the best example of what I'm talking about, because they could have used Nemo to teach us something about conserving the seas, and instead they just threw us in a very unimaginative 10-minute, you know, retelling of the film to be able to remarket some DVDs. That's the way I feel about it. Anyway.
I like dark rides.
I like the right kind. And I don't want them at Animal Kingdom. At Justin Hilden, which bicycle is your favorite? Now, this is one of the questions I read, one of only a couple, because it was so short when
I went
down.
It's a Keith Brantner question.
Yeah, I did a double take to try it, but he's talking about the actual, like, detail bicycles.
Yeah.
That you see. Yeah.
There's some in Harambe. I can tell you what my favorite is.
Yeah.
There's one in the bird market in Anandapur. It has some stuff and fruit and stuff on it, just sitting there. It's underneath all the empty cages of the bird market. So that would be my favorite, I think, if I had to pick a favorite.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite. I would think the one that I would, the only thing that comes to my mind is the rickshaw that's out across from the Yak and Yeti store. The one that has the
people can sit in it, right?
Yeah, it has like
a picture of our parents sitting in it.
We may. That comes to my mind. Anyway, so the next question, at Lightman Hyde, one of my favorite Twitter
and
handles.
He has a podcast, by the way.
I know. With all the what's his podcast? Plug it. Do you know it?
I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. I think it's just Lightman Hyde podcast.
Excellent.
I think.
With all the changes to Epcot, would you agree that Animal Kingdom is now the crown jewel of the four parks for learning slash fun for kids? Totally. Epcot is no longer a learning experience.
No, that's not true. That's simply not true.
Sure it is.
It's less of a learning experience.
It is no longer a learning experience.
There's Spaceship Earth. There's the Living Seas. There's the Living with the Land. There's all of World Showcase with Impressions de France. Oh, Canada, Wonders of China. That's not true at all. They have museums in there. It's just not true. It's just simply not true. Now, they're neutering it. I'll give you that. You know,
I guess you and I have different definitions of learning.
Mission Space.
I guess we have different definitions of learning. Mission Space is not a learning experience. The Mission Space is a thrill ride.
It's a thrill ride, but has some learning elements to it.
Very, very few.
Okay.
If you call that a learning experience, then you could call anything a learning experience.
That's not true. It's more
you can call Pirates of the Caribbean a learning experience.
No, you can't.
Sure, you can learn about pirates. Isn't this great? It's equally as learning.
That's just ridiculous.
I think you and I have different definitions of learning. When I think of learning, I think of Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Spaceship Earth learning experience.
A small one.
Well, then I guess Epcot never was a learning experience.
No, of course it was. The old Communicores had actual tactile learning things.
Nobody ever went in there, but Living with the Land, is that a...
Mike, the question wasn't did people go. He just asked, is Animal Kingdom now the crown jewel of the four parks? And I think yes, because Epcot got rid of all of those learning things. The cast member out...
get rid of?
The cast member out showing bones to kids in Animal Kingdom. That's much more of a learning experience to me than happen to being on a ride that might be based on something historical.
I'm not saying that Animal Kingdom is not a learning experience, obviously, but you're saying that Epcot is no longer a learning experience, and that's simply not true.
Not what it was.
That's fine, but they really haven't taken that much out. I mean, Communicore is still Interventions, and still nobody ever goes in there. You still have Living with the Land. You still have the Living Seas. You still have all the museums in Epcot and the films.
Living with the Seas.
Living Seas.
The Living Seas took away the learning element of the ride completely.
No, but you still have the aquarium.
You have
aquarium.
An aquarium, but you don't learn anything in it anymore.
You have the hands-on exhibit. Well, not hands-on, but you have all those small exhibits
used to have a
too.
Lot more. A lot
they've
more
taken, like I've said, they've neutered events. It to some degree, and that's one that they've taken back. It's still somewhat of a learning experience.
Animal Kingdom's the only learning park. It's the only edutainment park.
That's simply not true at all.
Scott Campbell. Our local reporter on the scene, Scott Campbell, writes.
Of Dixie Landings Radio.
Yes. What are your thoughts of the possibility of Discovery Island reopening?
Never happening.
Oh, this is
it's not really an Animal Kingdom.
It is not, but it is a good question, and I agree with you. It's never happening. It's really.
I mean, it's Animal Kingdom related because
it's really falling apart.
I mean, when I was at Disney in 1998, I went there on my honeymoon in October. The park was like six months old. Discover Island was still open, but it didn't last much longer than that. I mean, I think it was pretty much gone the following year.
Yeah, he's talking about the Bay Lake.
The Bay Lake. Yeah. You know, it used to be basically a little zoo out there, mostly with birds. And now it's just an overgrown mess. Right. They've talked about various things on there. I remember there being...
Yeah, but it's only been kind of speculation at best.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard... I mean, when Myst was a popular video game, they were talking about something there. They were talking about something with Lost from, you know, the old TV show.
Maybe. Yeah, wasn't that an ABC show?
It was an ABC show. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess maybe someday they'll do something with the space. I think maybe the most likely thing will be deluxe bungalows for DVC members to spend $4,000 a night on Discovery Island. But that's maybe the most likely scenario. I certainly don't see another zoo going in there.
Here is a tough question for me to answer at first, because this is a very involved one. So let's pull this back a little bit. At Flannel Jedi asks,
I know this question,
hypothetical, yeah. Mm-hmm. Animal Kingdom announces South America expansion, design 3 attractions, rides, exhibits, walking tour shows, etc. We could dedicate a whole show to that. So pick one.
Pick one what?
One South, if they, we were going to expand to a South America land at Animal Kingdom, give me one attraction, exhibit,
what I would
tour,
build.
What would you build?
What I would build would be basically take sort of the idea of Tiger River Run, which for those people who don't know was originally going to be an Asian water safari as to counter the Kilimanjaro safaris. I would build a boat ride.
That's exactly what I would have said.
That essentially would go past some of the bigger animals like jaguars and tapirs.
Jaguars.
Yes. Tapirs and maybe troops of monkeys along the river. And then go into kind of Jungle Cruise-esque, go into darkened ruins and you go into the water, go into the ruins and you come out into basically a flooded forest that would basically be a giant aviary filled with different types of monkeys, filled with tons of like colorful birds, and you just slowly work your way through it, checking out as much as you can. You get like some sort of, you know, visual guide as to, you know, what macaws and birds and monkeys would be.
Yeah,
I think that would be fantastic. And I would also have turtles and fish in the water that you can look at, because there's a lot of cool Amazon fish.
Oh my god, indigenous, tons of them.
And I would definitely build a Brazilian steakhouse.
This is a tough one because you that would be good. What's the drink? Caipirinhas?
Yeah, Caipirinhas.
You took the one that first comes to my mind, which would be some sort of Amazonian boat ride. I would say, how about a mountain?
Andes?
Machu Picchu.
Well, that'd be cool.
How about like a roller coaster ride through something that looks like Machu Picchu, but we'd have to call it something else. And it's a haunted ride, so it's cursed,
the
right? It's like
of
one of the
it's
one of the cursed.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the next thing that would come to my mind. Is it really lends itself to a beautiful mountain?
Use some of the Aztec mythology, maybe.
Exactly.
That would be kind of interesting. That would be definitely interesting.
So there you go. There's one apiece. And if I were to do a second one, I would do it next to Mike's. Boat ride, I would do a walking tour, a walking exhibit, a walkthrough exhibit like Pangani, but have a Amazonian
right. You could see
type
like
of
jaguars and tapirs,
just sort of like Pangani is sort of a an addition to Kilimanjaro, sort of an annex of Kilimanjaro,
right, almost like a companion to
Companion to it. That's the word I'm looking for. Then I would do that
and
there.
Then,
at
like one exhibit you could see at both, and that kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure. Okay, at Mike Susantis, visiting Animal Kingdom in 2 weeks for first time in a couple of years, and this is a timely answer, folks. He's got not this 2 weeks is he's so going to hear this.
Question was less. Yeah, he just yep, get, just in the nick
this.
Of time.
Yep. What are those? Some podcasts answer months and years later,
yeah,
apparently.
True.
What are the most important can't-miss new items to see, big or small, first time in a couple of years?
Okay, Winged Encounters.
That was the first one that came to my
new
mind.
New Harambe Village, you know, the,
yeah,
the
yep,
Festival
the,
of Lion
yep,
King.
Yep, the new festival.
Anything else that's brand new? A lot of walls.
Dowel Bar has been redone.
That's true.
And it's an improvement.
Mm-hmm. I guess really
a lot of walls. Yeah, unfortunately,
in 2 years, probably the only newish, really new things are
New Harambe,
Festival of the Lion King's new area, and Winged Encounters would be.
Yeah, there's nothing in Dino Land. There's nothing in Asia that I can think of. No. Yeah, that's the two. So make sure you don't fist that.
I mean, there's a couple of new animals and stuff, but I mean.
He also has a supplemental question. Okay. Also, best place for coffee currently at the Animal Kingdom, I would say. Go somewhere else.
Well, there's a Joffrey's stand that's... I mean, Joffrey's is better than the other coffee. It's not bad.
It's better than Starbucks.
Which is coming soon, but it won't be open by the time he's there.
No. Yeah, the Joffrey's, the Isle of Java is probably the best
place. Right, which
to go.
Is just open.
And it's not bad.
It's fine.
It's a lot better than the resort coffee.
Yeah, which is becoming Joffrey's now, so it's really just the same, really.
Disney doesn't do pizza, and they don't do coffee.
Joffrey's is not bad.
It's not, at best not bad.
It's not like Nescafe was. I mean, it's a decent cup.
Well, that was.
It's not coffee, Nescafe. Right, this is a decent cup of coffee.
It's actually fine coffee. Yeah, it's fine. But I would say that as long as you're not doing it, that's what I was going to say. That's why I said nothing, because there isn't any. I mean, they're all kind of the same. Any one place that's better than the next.
No,
the only difference is when Starbucks open, that'll be the unique spot. Go to Starbucks because that's the only place that will serve that coffee.
Right.
If you happen to like that stuff,
Cusafiri has some good items to eat with the coffee. So if you're looking for
a
pastry to go along with it, Cusafiri is
excellent point. Go with that one. I would say go with that one because then it's not just the coffee you're getting there.
Right.
What would a Bora Bora bungalow concept look like at Animal Kingdom Lodge? It looked like a pipe dream at best. Should we just move on to the next one, or would you like to answer that?
I mean, you certainly can't build some bungalows in the middle of the savannah.
No. But
Who asked that question? I don't think you said who asked
KL Story.
Okay, he's Orlando Tourism Report.
However.
Podcast and blog.
The lodges.
Which I guessed it on.
The lodges in Africa.
Yes.
Have a lot of, really would lend itself to those sort of private cottages, for better term. They don't call them that. I can't think of what they call them.
Right.
But they have almost open air things.
Yeah, you could do that, but the way the lodge is currently constructed,
you wouldn't be able to get there. You couldn't walk out to it.
There's no way to really put them in the savannah or of savannah view, really.
You'd have to have a hallway that extends out into the savannah,
I guess.
And it'd have to be a walkover because you want the animals to get under.
Right. I guess. I mean,
they certainly could do it. They could do like a treehouse concept way out. If you go way out, just how are you going to get there? How are you going to get in and out?
Yeah, I don't know.
So it would be perfect.
Go back to my train.
It would be perfect. It would be a great idea. It's just I don't see how it can work.
Yeah.
Ken Cabot.
Logistically, yeah.
Ken Cabot asks a great question, one I've gotten answered before.
I met Mr. Cabot.
A favorite bathrooms in the park.
That's a gentleman I bumped into at work.
Just randomly. We'll get to that later. We'll go back to that in a bit. You'll see. I would say my favorite one is the brand new one built past the Festival of the Lion King Theater.
Oh, over there?
Yep. It's brand new. It's large, and there's never anyone in it.
No, there is never anybody in it.
So that's where I would go. If you need to take your time in the bathroom, you know, if it's not a quick stop,
if you
know where I'm going, that's a place to go.
Is this after eating a bran muffin and coffee over a Cusafiri?
I was thinking more along like, you know, if you had curry chicken or something like that. Do you have an answer to this or can we just move on?
I'm trying to think of which ones would be. No, that's a good one. I like that one, actually. It's a nice bathroom, actually. That's what would be my choice as well.
Tweet Neil asks, yes. I've never been to Animal Kingdom. Then why are you listening to us? No, I'm just kidding. Plan my first three steps for me. Easy. We've done it already. You did it earlier.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, I'll reiterate. FastPass Plus, later in the day, Everest, Kali, and Kilimanjaro Safari. Kilimanjaro Safari, make it at the end of the day. And rope drop Maharaja Jungle Trek to enjoy the animals all by your lonesome. Mm-hmm. And then go enjoy Dino Land before it gets crowded. And then you're primed to use your FastPasses. Pick what shows you want to go, because those are usually, you know, I mean, unless you're there Christmas Day, but even then, you can usually get into the shows with some planning and forethought. You're set. You're golden.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to that is I would do exactly what Mike just said, but I would probably start off, if I'm there at Rope Drop, at hitting Kilimanjaro first thing, so you can ride it twice.
Another solid choice.
And then go around to Maharaja. And then I still think after you've done that, you're probably going to be okay at Dinosaur, unless you're there in a really busy time.
Yes. You
should be okay at Dinosaur.
Probably will be. But you're not getting to Dinosaur until about 10:30, but then you're probably still okay. Probably still okay.
And then you can slow down and look at the rest of your day.
Right.
Jolly Caucus Race.
Who I also met at the waning days of Maelstrom.
Two questions. I think I might ignore the second one, but I'm sure Mike's not going to let me. What do you think are the best little details in the park? I like the rebar in New Harambe. We'll answer that one first. I would say my favorite little detail is the, this was actually mentioned on the podcast I was just referred to, the Disney Brit one. Mm-hmm. It is the yellow, white, and red pipes on your way into Dinosaur with
mustard, mustard ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's probably my coolest little goofy detail. But I would say my favorite one is probably the concept of the prey and predator.
Flame tree?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like the details of Maharaja Jungle Track. It's beautiful. And there's so many.
With
all the murals and stuff that tells you like a complete story, and you know, read our blog or go to that episode where we talk about it. That's a good one.
There's so many.
I also like Joe Rohde's Beads and Masks, the posters and Harambe.
The posters and Harambe are outstanding.
Yeah, those are great little details. So that would be another one.
Yeah. And Chester and Hester's is full of them too.
The Hidden Baloo behind Tamu Tamu was a good one.
Don't talk about that one. And the second question was best way to incorporate Frozen. The best way is to not incorporate Frozen.
I will wholeheartedly agree with Dave on this one. Frozen does not belong in the Animal Kingdom.
At Scott Campbell is back. He writes, favorite thing coming to Animal Kingdom? Favorite thing that is on its way? What direction do you want to see the park head next? Those are two separate questions. So let's do favorite thing coming to the Animal Kingdom. Which one are you hyped up most for?
I guess it has to be Rivers of Light.
Okay. I would say the nighttime safari is what
that would be a close second.
Yeah.
Both well above Avatar Land, in my mind. I'm more interested in those two things than Avatar Land.
Absolutely. Even though I'm not disinterested in Avatar Land, those things make more sense. What direction you want to see the park head next? I don't think I want it to change direction. I mean, when he says head next, it almost makes it sound like a different direction.
No, but I think maybe this would answer the... I would like, if they were, after all this is done, what would be the next thing they do?
Oh, that's probably what he's asking. Okay.
I would like another animal trail somewhere, whether it's another one in Asia or out in Rafiki's Planet Watch or something, another animal-related, like real animal-related thing.
And anybody who's listened to this podcast before, say it with me, folks. You know exactly what I'm going to say. Giant pandas. Nicholas Nickleby writes, I have to choose between Animal Kingdom, Disney's Hollywood Studio, and Epcot for one day in August. How obtrusive will the walls be at Animal Kingdom? Interesting. Now, here's what I would say to that.
When was it again? When?
August.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that right now.
I can only assume...
They're still going to be pretty intrusive when it comes to Asia. We know that for sure.
Yeah, with the Rivers of Light, sure.
I would also say, depending on... Hollywood Studios, just take that right out. The only thing I would choose between is Animal Kingdom and Epcot. And the only reason why I would say Epcot is because if you're paying for a one-day pass...
Mm-hmm.
And Animal Kingdom closes in August awful early still... We won't have the night stuff open yet to extend the hours
of light. So the illuminations trumps, you know.
Yeah. So even though I think Animal Kingdom is a far superior theme park at this point, Disney is still working with their budget cut hours and cutting off the hours to the Animal Kingdom at 5 o'clock on off days. And August could very well be that.
Yeah. I mean, if it was open till 8 o'clock,
then I would say Animal Kingdom.
I mean, the walls. The question back to the walls.
Yeah, that is really the question.
I'm fairly certain that the Harambe Market will be open by then.
Yeah,
so will
Starbucks.
Starbucks should be open.
Flame Tree should reopen.
Flame Tree is opening, I believe, in May sometime.
Right, so those are all so Discovery Island might be okay.
Right. The other, I think we're really only looking at is around the Rivers of Light area, around Asia and that kind of path towards Dino Land.
And they built some neat walls over there too.
The walls should be better by then.
Yeah,
fairly significant.
It's hard to say. It's hard to answer that, but I would say it really comes down to, you know, we got to learn a little bit more about what's going to be open at that point, and though I think it's going to be far better situation than it is now, and I would also be wondering about the tickets. I mean, if you're an annual pass holder.
Right.
And you're just going to be down there for a day. I'd go to Animal Kingdom.
We also don't know his deal. He said he's only going to be there for a day.
One day.
I mean, does he have to leave?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, if he had to leave by 7 o'clock, either way you look at it, the Animal Kingdom is better than Epcot.
Yeah.
If you could be there until midnight possible, then, you know, maybe you would want dinner at World Showcase and Illuminations. That's a big appeal to me.
I would agree.
So.
Scott Quayle writes, as much as I hate to admit being shallow, all the construction boards ruined Animal Kingdom for me last year in October. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine it would, and it did for me as well.
Ruined is a strong word.
No,
but
it really hurt because
it did hurt.
Yeah, I'm a photograph nut, and it's hard to photograph some really major stuff.
Agreed.
He also writes, "Am I the only one who thinks that Wilson should have been left in the safari ride? So unique. I miss him." Well, he is in the queue.
He is still in the queue.
I think that spiel probably could have been updated rather than removed.
I agree. I'd rather hear him in the ride somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree.
At CR Diskin writes, "How do you enjoy Animal Kingdom during this Sea of Walls era? It's my favorite park and we'll be visiting this May. Haven't seen New Harambe yet."
May, he's still going to have the walls we already talked about.
Yeah, and they're the walls that basically I experienced last time. And it really hurts you.
Flame Tree might be open, and I don't know about Harambe Marketplace. Flame Tree will probably be open, but...
If Flame Tree is open and Harambe Marketplace is open, it shouldn't affect you as much as you think it's going to.
Right.
As much as it affected us, really, because all of Discovery Island was one big hallway.
Right, when we were there, they had those big walls right in front of the Tree of Life, which are now gone.
Which are now gone, right. And that was a big thing.
That was a problem, yeah.
That was huge. But yet, still, once you get out of those areas and into the attractions, you forget all about it. So, I mean, it's terrible, but if you're going, go, and don't worry about it, you know? Aruna writes us, "What would be your ideal real life safari?" What a great question. My ideal real what would your ideal real life safari be, Mike? Where would you go?
So the question is, like, where would I go? Would it be like
Alaska? This is not an Animal Kingdom related question. What would your real life safari be?
I would love to see Africa, do an African safari, see elephants and lions and stuff. That'd be great.
So you're talking Tanzania area?
Sure.
That kind of area?
Sure.
You wouldn't want to...
Or even South Africa.
Traipse across the North Pole looking for polar bears?
Not the North Pole. I would go to Alaska, but not the North Pole.
Alaska is wonderful, for sure. I would agree with you. I think of all the places I can think of going, you could include the Amazon and all. I mean, there's tons of different places you can do. Southeast Asia's got all sorts of things. Ecotourism is now huge in just about every corner of the globe. Australia is a great example. I would still probably say Africa.
Me too.
So after that,
go to South Africa. We could hang out with Aruna.
Yeah, that's what I do. Sleep on our couch. Got to save money. It's a long flight.
It's a long. It's expensive.
What do you think of the rumor? The Disney hipsters, Mike.
Yes.
What do you think of the rumor that a Cape Buffalo sandwich will be served at the newly renovated Flame Tree?
I don't know Cape Buffalo. I've had Buffalo Bison.
It's yummy.
Perfectly fine.
It's yummy. Is this true?
No, of course not.
I didn't think so. But you answered it so. I mean, are Cape Buffalo endangered? I didn't think they were.
They're not endangered, but they don't really... I'm not sure.
But you don't farm them for...
I've never seen them on a menu anywhere.
Well, there's a lot of weird stuff on menus across the world. So now I saved these for last. These are the email ones.
All right.
And these are a little bit longer. So,
okay.
First one comes from Jim Willis. "Hi, guys. What do you think about the addition of a King Cobra exhibit to the Maharaja Jungle Trek? It's already an amazing exhibit with some of my favorite animals, bats and Komodo dragons. The cobras would add an even more of a wow factor. I'm thinking of the King Cobra exhibit at the Philadelphia Zoo. You may have seen it. I have not. Have you?
No, I have not.
No. It's amazing. Best regards. Love the show, and especially love the Dave, how much does it cost game." I think that's a... right in the theme. I mean, people are so...
It'll be great.
People are so freaked out by the bats. Wait till they see the cobras, for God's sake. They're intimidating.
He likes the Dave How Much It Costs game?
Yeah.
Interesting. I had one maybe for you.
That's one of my favorites, too. I'm really getting good at it, too. Last couple times I've been close.
The boathouse opened. Guess how much their side order of grilled asparagus costs? Side order of grilled asparagus.
$8.
$31.
Oh, I'm obviously won't be going there. At Sarah Maroney. Sarah Maroney writes us, "I love the podcast." I'm gonna keep all those "I love the podcast" in because I want to sort of reiterate that. "Please keep up the great work. Now for my question. I agree with you guys 100% that Animal Kingdom is not a half-day park. In fact, may even be my favorite. I wish that level of detail was in every Disney park. Here is the thing. I'm trying to justify taking my nearly two-year-old, now nearly is the big question there, for a day while we are down in Disney for a first trip, a short four-day visit. Most rides are out of the question for her because she is too short or will be too afraid. I'm looking to you. I'm looking at you. It's tough to be a bug, she writes. She is way too active to sit still for shows, so those are also out. She likes animals, but again, I worry she might be bored sitting still for long to look at them. I might not be old enough to enjoy learning much beyond what sounds they make and that kind of thing. So basically, that leaves us safaris, Triceratops spin, which she says blah, and I think it's as blah as any other spinner in the world. Maybe the tram ride to Rafiki's in the Boneyard. If you are being truly honest, do you feel a visit to the Animal Kingdom is worth it on a short trip with a young toddler? If you were to plan a day there for a toddler, what would your must do? What would be your must do's? Finally, if you were the Imagineers, what would you like to add to the park to make it more toddler friendly?
So you got the safaris, you've got she doesn't want the shows. You don't think the little kid would be mesmerized by Flights of Wonder with the birds flying over?
I think she would. I think she's shortchanging the shows.
Okay.
I also think if you get a good seat at Festival of Lion King, kids go nuts for it. All right. Even 2 years old.
I think so. I think it's possible.
Because it's loud. And
the train ride would be fun. The petting zoo out there would be fun.
Yeah.
I would also check out Guitar Dan. He's always very good with toddlers.
Great.
That's a good show for them.
Yep. Good catch there. I just wanted to say, I wanted to differentiate between Festival of Lion King and Nemo. I think the Nemo ride, Nemo show would be difficult because you're sitting kind of far away from the, when the Festival of Lion King is more, you're in it.
It's fair.
You know what I mean? You're in the round. It's much more tactile. I think toddlers would enjoy that a lot more than sitting 40 rows up in a big amphitheater type thing. It's just the design, the layout of the way the show works.
Yeah, that's fine.
Works better for kids.
Obviously, Everest and Collie are out.
And obviously, there's just animal stuff everywhere.
There is animal stuff everywhere.
I mean, I honestly, Mike, I would sooner take a toddler to Animal Kingdom than I would Epcot.
Well, Epcot, there's a lot of rides they can go on. They might be bored with it, but they're rides.
Yeah.
And a two-year-old is going to enjoy moving. So even though Spaceship Earth, they're not going to appreciate that the Phoenicians
invented
language.
How about Hollywood Studios, though?
Hollywood Studios is an issue because the rides really don't...
Are too old. There's
however,
nothing
there's
there.
A lot... There's a couple shows than you... There's the Disney Junior thing that they would like, probably.
That's only one. That's it.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, and then you're walking around a place that really doesn't have a whole lot to look at. Or
there's not that much for toddlers there. Yeah. There really isn't. There's more at Animal Kingdom. I think Epcot's better than you think for toddlers.
I just think of it as being so...
Just because you put them in an Omnimover and they move,
they'll
be mesmerized by that.
So
there's more
big.
Of that. The problem they have is World Showcase. There's really not much to do for them.
Nothing there. It's so big. There's so much walking around for, you know...
Mm-hmm.
A kid would be exhausted by the time you're... Just out of Future World.
A two-year-old's probably going to be in a stroller.
Yeah, that's what. You're going to be exhausted. Kevin Crossman asks, regarding theme of Dinoland, I know that you have said that you like the backstory of Chester and Hester. Before we do that, I just wanted to answer this one thing. If you were the Imagineers, what would you add to the park to make it more toddler friendly?
Oh yes,
I don't think I would.
We're going to go back to dark rides. I would add a dark ride or two. I think that would help for that.
I don't think I would want it to be more toddler friendly. I just don't. I'm not. I think it should be sort of the adult oriented park, sort of the educational park.
Animal
Kingdom. Sort of more of the conservation educational. It's good for kids, but I like the idea of it being more Epcot than Magic Kingdom. And I hope they turn the Hollywood Studios into more Magic Kingdom than Epcot.
Fine.
That's how I would say it.
But if you were going to do anything, it would. I mean, a dark ride or two.
I said before.
Would appeal to everybody, I think, except for you, apparently. But everybody else would enjoy a dark ride, I think.
And I also said before I would put, like, kiddie rides in Chester and Hester's rather than the thing. So that would be my answer. Kevin, regarding theme of Dinoland, I know that you have said you like the backstory of Chester and Hester. Well, Micah said that. At the end of the day, isn't that a means to an end to explain a series of low-rent attractions done on the cheap?
Oh, obviously.
I mean, yeah, everybody knows that.
I mean, really,
if you wanted something nice there, that isn't what you would build. Right? Well, that's a leading question, but...
this is not a trial. I mean, he can ask a leading question. Sure. I mean, if you said to me, we can either build Chester and Hester's, or we can build a state-of-the-art river cruise seeing all sorts of awesome audio animatronic dinosaurs, of course I'm taking the river cruise through awesome animatronic dinosaurs. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Every park needs a place where you can bring your three-year-old and just let him do something. Every park needs a boneyard.
Oh, yeah, but he's not talking about the boneyard. He's talking about Dinorama.
Okay. Chester and Hester's has the Triceratops spin. Though. So it has something. You need to have a child ride of some kind.
But you could probably just as easily put that in Rafiki's Planet Watch and made it birds.
Yeah, but that's the only other place you could have put it. You can't put something like that in anywhere else. You're not going to find a child spinner ride in the middle of an African village. You're just not going to. It doesn't work, Mike. So that's the only place it had to go. So Chester and Hester's had to have the ability. Dinoland had to have the ability to appeal to kids. So it had to be, for lack of a better word, dumbed down.
I mean, I suppose they could have plowed over one of the Discovery Island shops and put one there, I guess. But
still, it would have looked out of place.
Very whimsical, kind of.
Yeah, it's still.
Well, they could have done it where it would have been looked. I mean, it had very whimsical looking, colorful animals.
Sure, but it fits perfectly in Dinosaur.
That's fine.
In Dinoland. So, yeah, we agree with I agree with them. It is obviously a great story. When they were told they had very little to work with, we needed a little kids thing, I think they did the best.
That's what I think they basically said to him, here's $5, build a new land. And they did the best they could do with the $5 that they got.
Right.
And they created a great backstory and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, they picked Triceratops to make the flying ride.
Right.
The one
animal that doesn't
it would have
fly.
Been so easy to do pterodactyls. It would have been so obvious.
Exactly.
But instead, they went Triceratops, just make it campy.
Exactly.
So, that's my only point, is that they did the best they could on a $5 budget. Would I have preferred a $100 million, super great attraction? Right. Of course.
And even Primeval World are poking fun at themselves.
Right. With they did it. Nice job of what they had.
Yeah, they did the best what they could. I wish they didn't do the. The only thing I don't like is
the carnival games.
The games. And that's the only thing I think cheapens it. I think the other two rides are perfectly fine.
Well, I think they fit thematically, but nobody ever uses them, so they could easily get rid of them for another ride or two.
Okay. This is DisneyDad611 from Twitter, otherwise known as Safari Mike's Bergen County Courthouse Stalker. And I wanted to respond to your request for questions.
I bumped into him.
My wife and I will be heading down to Animal Kingdom Lodge for a week in June to celebrate our twin boys' first birthday. Great
happy
idea.
Happy birthday.
When we started planning our FastPass Plus selections, they won't be there when you get there, we decided not to park hop and instead split our 6 days up into 2 days in each park, each of the three full-day parks, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and, of course, Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. But as I thought about the way we would have to change our park touring approach traveling with little ones, it occurred to me that we might be better off spending just 1 day at Disney's Animal Kingdom and spending an extra day at Magic Kingdom. My thinking is that the only things I can feel confident the boys will be able to enjoy at Animal Kingdom are Kilimanjaro Safaris, the Trainer Rafikis, the character meet and greets at the Outpost, and the two trails, Maharaja and Pagani. We will try for Finding Nemo and Festival Lion King, but I'm not sure the boys will be able to enjoy it, or they might be scared of the noises. Yeah, you know,
they're a year old. Is that what? That
yeah,
said?
I don't. A year is very young, and I think that they're going to enjoy anything that's bright, shiny, and singing. I mean,
yeah, because that's not quite. That's not a toddler. That's
baby, younger than a toddler. Right. We will. Let me finish. We'll also plan a breakfast at Tusker House. So, am I missing something? I feel I'm cheating on my love by only spending 1 day at Animal Kingdom. I'm just starting to accept that maybe DAK is not a park well suited for very young children. Any thoughts? Am I missing something? I would say that for a 1 year old, there is no park that's well suited. I mean, even Magic Kingdom only has some things that a 1 year old is really going to be crazy excited about.
Again, Dave, I'm going to go back to the having been at the park with I think it was just over two, and Megan was younger than that when I first took her. Attractions that move,
Omnimovers
and things like that, where they're moving along and seeing things all around them.
Right.
It's a Small World, Haunted Mansion, Spaceship Earth, even though they're obviously have no idea what is going on at Spaceship Earth. They're mesmerized by the all the action going all around them. So I do think those parks, those two in particular, are a little bit more conducive. Hollywood Studios is forget it.
The only thing I would say about that, Mike, is that they're going in June. The lines at the dark rides are almost make them not an option
when
for 1 year olds. That well, they just said June. Now see, most of June,
first week of June is not as
it has to
as
be
the
first
June,
week.
Yeah.
If it's not the first week,
then
it gets
bad.
It gets bad,
end,
and you, end, and, yeah. And you can't stand on a 35-minute line for Peter Pan, no matter or a 60-minute line for Peter Pan
that's
with
tough.
A 1 year old. So the Animal Kingdom lends itself to the fact that you don't have to stand in line for a lot of things
that's
to be
true.
Seen.
That's true.
You know, and that's why I like that. I mean, that's why I think that works. And
I don't
it's also
disagree with you.
You know. That's a tough one.
That is tough.
It's a tough
1 year is not a great age for.
No, it's for
Disney.
You more than them.
Yeah, it's for you more than them. But they will like stuff.
They will like it as long
they just
as you
won't
don't.
Remember it, but,
right,
I mean,
as long as you don't make them wait in the hot sun in the line.
Right, right.
You know?
And you have to know when to fold them.
To call, yeah, you got to know when to call it and head
you have
back.
To know.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's 1 o'clock and you really want to do two or three more things, and they've clearly had it. Do yourself a
and
favor.
That's another thing. They're staying. They're staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, I would go 2 days at the Animal
Kingdom. I would go 2 days at the Animal Kingdom because if they melt down, which they're inevitably going to do, and there's twins, so they're going to melt down at different times of the day.
It seems to me that he doesn't have to make this decision until the last day anyway.
Yeah, I would go to Animal Kingdom because it's quicker. You can get back right away. And the lodge is great for the kids. I mean, just go out
true.
And watch, you know, it's terrific. He also writes, also, do you have any guesses when Disney might announce a return of Harambe Nights? If it coincided with our trip, I'm thinking that maybe my wife and I could get a babysitter and make that a date night. Mike and I are assuming Harambe Nights is coming back. However,
I have no idea.
Harambe Nights was tied in with
the anniversary
of the Lion King, which is not this year. So
right,
it may not come back.
20th? 25th? What was it? 20th, right? 94?
Yeah.
Must have been 20th.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean...
So it may not.
It may not. But it was such an overwhelming success. I mean, each and every one of them sold out.
Yeah.
And it got high, high praise indeed.
I agree.
I would imagine something like that's going to come, but who the hell knows when?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it will probably be the same idea, but maybe just a different show.
Yeah.
You know? So, finally... We've gotten to the number 36.
All right.
Tracy B. writes, do you have any recent news about when the Harambe Market food stalls will open?
Mm-mm.
I have a trip in late April, and I'm hoping I can eat there. Animal Kingdom is my favorite park, and I love the idea of a big quick service in Africa.
It's not looking good for late April.
Right.
If
no,
it was
right.
going to be late April, they would have announced it by now.
Because they haven't even announced it.
They haven't even announced it. So I'm thinking sometime.
It's hard for people to... People think they have, but they haven't. There was just a leaked concept art.
Right.
But it was never a concept art leaked or brought forth by Disney.
No.
So, yeah, I'm thinking now June or July.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Yep. Cool.
You did it.
Excellent.
Thank you, everybody, for your questions. Some of them were fantastic. Well, they were all really good. Some of them were difficult. I'm still going back on that South America one. That was a big question, man.
Why, you want to do a whole show about that?
No. I'm still thinking if I could have come up with something better. But I think the Machu Picchu coaster was a good idea.
Ours combined would be a good land. Animal ride.
And your Brazilian barbecue. Don't forget that.
Of course.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Radio Harambe. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us a review. Don't forget, check out our website, JohnBoEveryone.com. You'll find everything you need to know about Disney's Animal Kingdom. While there, check out our store. We're selling some great unofficial Animal Kingdom themed merchandise. So all of our profits go to our conservation partners. Also, feel free to follow us on Twitter. I am at Radio Harambe. Mike is at Jombo Everyone, though just about everybody on the Ask These Questions knows that already. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all that kind of stuff, YouTube as well. You can find all those links at JohnBoEveryone.com. So thank you once again for your participation in this show. And for Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Harambe. Na kungungu, na utukupu, hata melele. Kwa kuwalufwa melako, na kungungu, na utukupu.